It appeareth for a little while and then it vanishes. So we need to see that our mind is always awake and watchful, and that we have, just like we were talking about with Daniel, we have that heart of repentance, because five of them, they thought they were fine. Five of those virgins, they thought that they were ready. They were with the other ones who were ready. But then when it came time for the bridegroom to come, they realized they were out of oil. And they were not ready. Their faith was not, it did not have substance. And they waited till the last second to realize that. They had time to realize that their faith didn't have substance. So let's realize that now. Let's not Amen. Wait until the last moment to realize that our faith doesn't have that substance.
That's right. I just was thinking about, as you was reading there in Matthew 25, I looked over at Kaylee's Bible and she had that whole page highlighted.
Yeah.
Listen, so you got underline, something
circled.
You got anything, Kaylee?
Well, actually, whenever Hannah was talking about our life being a vapor, it took me back to Psalms 39:5. And it reads, "You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire life is just a moment to you. Wow. At best, each of us is but a breath."
Man.
But as for the highlights and the everything else, it just, so it's not a, it's, we were talking about fear and everything. And it gives me a good, one of them good fears, and to, you know, just to stand in awe and an anticipation. That's been on my heart forever. It's just like the anticipation of God, either like he's doing something big either way. But like, right, just to have that urgency to like to continue to press forward. It, like, I don't know. It's just like the anticipation to like, yes, he's coming back soon. And I want to be ready. But also, more importantly, I want others to be ready as well. So yeah, it's just that anticipation. And
that's right. You saying that, that's actually me anticipating my grandbaby.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he ain't supposed to be here till the 15th. But still, yet it's like these last 2 or 3 weeks have just, like, come on. I mean, we're ready.
Yes.
We're ready. So it's almost like you saying anticipation about the Lord coming. It's like, all right, Lord, come on, come on. I mean, but not Amen. Only do we want him to come get us.
Right.
But really, we want to see this great move of God that's going to happen before he comes.
Yes.
Because
yes,
the word constantly talks about how the latter rain is going to be greater than the former rain. I can't even grasp my head around that. No. I don't know about y'all, because, listen, you see about miracles. You see about all the great things that happened in the Bible. And he said things to come are going to be greater than these. Whoa. You mean, well, so who's going to do this? Who's going to do this? The people that is equipped and the people that he uses, he's going to use you and he's going to use me. If you're driving down the road this morning, I'm speaking to you. If you're listening by at home, I'm speaking to you, because he's going to use a people.
Yes.
And whether he's got, I often tell him, I say, whether he's got 100,000 or whether he's got 10, hello, he's going to use them.
Yeah, he is.
And I mean, so, I mean, is it going to look bigger and better for 10? Yeah, but I want 100,000 to come. I mean, I'm just saying a number, you know what I'm saying? Because it's going to be great things. And that's why I don't want to be, people talk about this parable that Hannah was talking about here, the wise and the foolish. Here's what sometimes the world will tell you. I don't know if you ever heard this. Well, you can't judge me. Well, you can't. No, you got enough for me. I got to have yours. I got to, you know, you. Oh, the Lord loved me. The Lord loves you. The Lord, you know, where's mine at? No, at the end of the day, I prepared my vessel. I prepared my vessel.
Right.
And listen, I love you and everything, but look, this is prepared for me and the Lord now.
Right.
The thing is, even if we wanted to share our oil, we can't.
There you go.
I mean, honestly, I would share my oil.
Come on.
Like, I mean, all of us would. I don't want anybody to not to not meet the bridegroom, but it's just not how it works.
That's it.
We can't share our oil. Like, we can't pour our oil in someone else's vessel or their temple. That's between every... We work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We each run the race that's set us. We don't run the race that's set before somebody else.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just thinking that, you know, when I first read this, like, well, gosh, why didn't those other five wise ones tell the foolish before now?
Yeah.
But they might have, though.
Yeah.
You know, they might have. But I think the point of this parable is those other ones, it's their responsibility. Like, at the end of the day, it's their responsibility to make sure their lamps are filled with oil.
That's it.
Go in.
And we can remind them, but...
Going back to what you said about the roots and the fruits and everything, you can't grow fruits off of my roots. So you've got to get yourself planted. Yeah. And you've got to just and it's all also something I've realized, it's sometimes you're just not like opening up. You're not just receiving. Like the Lord's trying to pour out on you and trying to give you this oil, but you're like just shut off and you're not open. And he's going to give it to someone who is open.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you just have to, you know, be, you know, obedient to him and to seek after him. And like you said, run your own race.
I mean, I know about the roots and the fruit and all that. But when you said roots and fruits, I was like, man, that's awesome right there. That's awesome work. I mean, I really love that. I mean, you know, because think about the fruit and think about all that. But that's a great word right there. I appreciate that. So, I mean,
yeah, just the roots are very important.
Yeah, just to know you can't grow fruit off my roots.
Mm. I mean,
you know, that's good. That's good.
And I think we talked about this too once, Kaylee, talking about that. Is there a word for rerooting?
Like, I think it's transplanting something. I think that's what we were talking about. Yeah.
Because the Lord spoke to me one time about rerooting myself. Mm-hmm. It was a while back. It was years ago. And sometimes, like, we just do. We have to uproot everything that is the bad roots and reroot ourselves into
good
soil.
That's it.
And so I think that's part of it too, is just I love what you said, Kaylee, about opening up and receiving the rain.
Yep.
Receiving what he has for us. And today is the day. Right now where we're at, we still have time.
Come on.
Anybody who's listening, you still have time to receive from the Lord, receive the rain from heaven, receive Christ, and respond to that conviction, respond to that drawing of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And our prayer, I know all of our prayer, even Roger in there, we're in agreement. We would love for that to be the day for you, if somebody's listening, or the day for your family member.
Yes.
I'm believing for my family members. I'm believing for people that I know in my life. But I know that also as Christians, whoever's listening, we have to share.
Yes.
We have to continue to pray, because the prayer closet is the biggest way we're going to see souls.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Saved.
Amen.
So
you talk about redig or whatever and wells. I mean, you know, sometimes that's what we got to do. We got to redig our well.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a place to put the water.
Got to make room.
That's it. Mm-hmm. I done a job here a few weeks ago, and I cleaned out a water reservoir.
Mm-hmm.
And thing about it is, after I pumped all the water out, the bottom of this reservoir was nothing but filth and junk and just gummed up. But, I mean, that's the thing. It all settled to the bottom.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it never got cleaned out.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing about it is, the junk and the things, if we allow that to settle in our hearts in the bottom of it, you think, well, it's not there. But the thing about it is, it can be stirred back up to be mixed in with that. So we got to clean it out.
So see, a word the Lord, this brought back to my remembrance.
That's awesome. Say it.
He's been working on my heart, and I was like, Lord, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that was there. Why is it? It's hurting, Lord. What are you doing? He goes, I can't heal something that you're numb to, that's hidden.
Wow.
He said, I can't heal that. So it has to be brought up,
because
you want to be pure and you want to be genuine, correct? I was like, yes. So take care of it.
Yeah.
So you'd rather go through that time of tribulation or trial, but you also, going through that, you're going to be pure. Like, going through the fire, you're going to be pure.
Come on.
And you have to walk that out. You can't have a testimony if you're not walking it out. So, it goes back to that.
No.
It settles. It does settle. Yep. And you don't realize until it's exposed. And I'm so thankful that the Lord is going to be exposing stuff in myself and around
Amen.
Us. So we're no longer deceived by ourselves.
Yep.
Or others, so.
It's awesome.
Wow.
Because, I mean, I know even though in the bottom of this, I'm telling you, it was like 6 or 8 inches. I can't get off my mind. But they had this jug with the pump, and it would just go like 6 inches under the water, so it would always get the clear stuff out.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So they would drink it. They weren't worried about what was in the bottom.
Mm.
But see, after it gets, eventually, you're going to have to, you know, get every bit of that cleaned out. And so if you're just skimming the top of things, you know what I'm saying, and that's what we've done for years. That's what I've done for you. I mean, I'll say myself as well. I mean, that I don't ever, and when I preach and teach at church, I often say, look, I feel as if the Lord gave me this word too.
Right.
So he dealt with me as I was preparing for it. Mm-hmm. So now I get it twice. I prepare for it, and now I'm preaching it to myself. And so, I mean, just because of why, I don't ever want to think that, hey, none of this word, even though, I have salvation. Yes, I'm working on the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, mm-hmm. the Holy Ghost working in my life. Yes, I'm doing these things. But the thing about it is, it's about growth within that. Mm-hmm. As I read that, as I study that, what else can I learn to further my relationship with him to get me to a place of where it's nothing but me and Jesus.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, I said, I love you, but if I don't love Jesus most, I can't love you.
Exactly.
Right. I tell people all the time, even I say, all right, I say, look at your spouse next to you. I said, if you don't love Jesus correctly, you are not giving them the exact love they need to give. They say, well, what about all these people that's been married for so long that don't have Jesus? I said, but what if they did have Jesus?
Right.
You know, instead of what Jesus do a lot of times when he was asked a question, he often answered questions with another question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because of why their thinking was one way, but he wants them to think in all ways.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
So. Amen. Oh, I have so much I could say to that, yeah. But we're at our hard break. And Ms. Gail says, God provides the material. He lets us build our boat.
Hallelujah.
She said, do we want a yacht or a rowboat?
Ooh. Wow. That's on you. Yes.
Yeah, it's good.
All right. Well, let's get into some manna. Manna on Tuesday.
All right. We're going to Luke chapter 18 and verse 7 today. And it says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with him? I don't want anyone to ever underestimate the power of God's call. I want you to know that his ear is listening to those that continue to cry out to him. Don't give up hope or your desire to see a breakthrough in every situation. Sometimes I believe we adjust our faith by how quickly Jesus answers our call. If you don't get the answer you desire, do you just throw it out the door?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you like this woman in this parable that would not take no for an answer? The judge said, because this woman troubleth me, I will avenge her because she weary me. This is a judge that had no regard for God. We need the people of God to begin to cry out day and night to begin to understand how much God loves us and wants to avenge his own elect. So who are you today? Are you of the faith? You have been bought with a price and you are loved by Heavenly Father that bears long with you. Don't allow the excuse of what you don't do be the answer for what could be done. Be that person that cries out day and night, night and day, let my faith rise. Mm-hmm. Be strong, stay strong, we strong. So, I mean, this is here the parable of the woman that, you know, kept going to the judge and kept, and Lord often used people outside of who his disciples was, outside who they was, to get them to realize how important it is for them to do certain things. See, and I believe he used everybody that he could to make sure that everybody that would come here after, just like us, would realize the importance of who we are.
Right.
That never quit going to me. Never quit. You know, you say, well, I didn't get the answer I wanted. Well, keep praying and keep pressing. You know, I always say this too. I said, look, if as a child, there were certain things that, I would love to have that.
Mm-hmm.
But then after you pass it by, well, you may not think about it no more. But if it's something you really wanted,
right,
you always troubled your mom and dad. You always said, no, I want that. No, I want that. But if it's something you didn't really want, you didn't really trouble them that much.
Right.
But see, it's just a matter of, all right, because oftentimes parents now, you know, they got a decision. All right, they really want that. Should I get it for them? But then at the end of the day, we realize that actually the Lord uses situations like this woman with the jizz because she desired in her heart, I'm not going to take no for an answer.
Mm.
And actually the scripture said that the judge had no regard for God. And so therefore it was just because of her constantly troubling him.
Right.
And saying, hey, I just want her out of my hair. I don't want to see her no more. I don't just give her what she needs. I'm gonna give her what she desires because she really wants this, and if I tell her no again today, she'll be back tomorrow.
Right.
If I tell her no again tomorrow, she'll be back the next day. You see, what happens is if we get no, or if we say, well, I guess it was the Lord's will, hang on a minute. His will should be my will. So if it's something that I'm praying according to the word, I believe it's his will. Mm-hmm. But it's just a matter if we really want to keep going to him to get that.
The scripture that reminds me of, and knock and the door will be open. So I take that, I take the scripture at literal. Cayman won't let me in a room, so I knock and I knock and I knock and I knock, and then she opens it. I might get hit, but still, you know, consistently and persistently, you know, seeking after him, and you know, everything else, there will be an answer.
Yeah,
there will be.
That's good.
Even if it's not the one we like.
Right.
Well, I mean, she said that because, you know, if somebody just knocks once, well, I guess he really didn't want to come in there. He just didn't go see what I was doing.
Right.
But if they said, no, I mean, I went in. What's going on? You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, that's what we do as believers. We constantly, he is the door.
Yes.
He is the door.
Yeah.
I mean, as of right now, the dispensation of grace is open. But there's still going to be one day where, guess what? That door's going to be shut.
Yeah.
And people that knock on it, guess what?
Mm.
It's going to be too late.
Yeah.
But as of right now, he's the door.
Yep.
I want to seek him. I want to ask. I want to seek him. I want to knock because of why there's greater things that the Lord has in store for his people.
Yes.
And I don't ever want to give up. I don't want to ever give up because I know there's been too many people that I've seen that have given up. You know, and I told some brothers that have been at church with us here lately, come and visit us. They're awesome men of God that the Lord's raising up. And I said, but for so many years, it seemed like that people about my age, Hannah, it was like they went through a dry spell there where they really didn't go to church, where they wasn't really the people that God had called them to be. But now I have proclaimed for the last several years that we are now raising up a generation of people that are my age that are coming back to realize that without God, I can't do nothing.
Amen.
Right.
I've done it my own way so many years, and it didn't work out like I thought it would. But from this moment on, that's why I see you young ones in here, and I think about how y'all's desire to knowing greater, knowing better, and even deeper in the Word. When I can't quit looking at Kaylee's Bible over there. I mean, just how amazing it is to see everything highlighted. Why is that? Because everything speaks to us.
Mm-hmm.
And see, if I had that desire, and I mean, even though that I was still in the church and I was still faithful, but still yet having that desire. I've seen so many people my age right now that, you know, during those times, they didn't really have that desire they need to have. You know what I'm saying? They allowed themselves to be caught up in everything else. Well, I got too busy. Well, I got to do this. I got to do that. You know, I love it when people tell me, well, yeah, I got to work on Sundays. Well, that's all right. We got Sunday night. We got Thursday night. We got Tuesday night.
Right. No excuse.
You know, so, I mean, that's why, and that's oftentimes what we say. We do that so that we know that people's lives, you know, you still got to work. You still got to provide for your family.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. You know, it's hard for me to tell somebody to always be there when I'm actually got to provide for my family as well.
Right.
The Lord did teach us to work. The Lord did teach us to do these things to provide for those around us. So we still got to do that. I understand that. But still yet, don't allow just one day to give you an excuse to never do it again. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, and honestly, I think there's a lot of people that have grown up in the church because I've heard testimonies that never truly got saved.
Yep.
That were like these other virgins, that they blended in with the group.
Yep.
But never really understood, never had that heart change. And,
yep,
you know, all men must be drawn by the Spirit,
yep,
to come to the door
change
of Jesus,
yep,
you know? And so I do think that's part of it too, is when people are when people are not actually saved and they're coming to church, they get burnt out because they feel disconnected from the body, because they,
yeah,
are disconnected from the body. If you're coming to church and you're not saved, you are disconnected from the saints. And the Lord was kind of speaking to me or showing me this yesterday. I was talking, like, we have to truly be praying that our friends and our family would get to Jesus before they get to church.
Mm.
Because if they don't get to the door, then when they get to the gathering of the saints, they're not going to know what's going on.
Come on.
They're not going to be connected. And I've seen that frustration in people of they just don't understand. They're not connected. They don't have the witness in their spirit. They're not able to worship with everybody because they're not in the faith. And we have to start. This is why it's so important for people like Josh talking to people in the grocery line, talking to people when we're praying for people, consistently praying for them, because, you know, many aren't going to be saved in church. Many are going to be saved in their bedroom.
Yep.
Many are going to be saved in their car. Many are going to be saved somewhere else other than church. And this is a new revelation for me because, I mean, I was never taught that. I'm taught, get them to church, get them to church. And now if they are at church, there's a good probability, you know, they're going to hear truth. And well, they're going to be hearing truth. So they're going to keep consistently hearing truth. But for a lot of people, it being just them and Jesus. I mean, look at the stories in the Gospels when Jesus just goes directly to a person. There's something about having a moment with just you and Jesus when you first meet him. And that's not the case for everybody. And I'm thankful that, you know, we have church and that the Lord has met people at churches, has met with them, has revealed himself to them. The ones who come to the well, the ones who come to the end of themselves and cry out, he's faithful. And there's been so many salvations at church. But I do think we're in a season where a lot of people, they're just not coming anymore.
Wow.
Unbelievers. They don't want anything to do with church.
Yep.
And I don't really blame them because I think it would be hard to be so disconnected. I don't know how that is, but I have been wrapped up in sin before, and I've felt the separation of my sin when I come to worship and I come together with the body. So I understand to an extent how they feel. Not wholly, because I've had the Holy Spirit, but I do understand to an extent because I've been there where I feel like I can't raise my hand to worship.
Right.
I feel like I can't, which isn't true, because all I would have had to do is repent and then just continue running my race. But, you know, I was under condemnation and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. The Lord just was speaking about that to me, is that unbelievers, they're not connected to the body.
Right.
And they need to have the Holy Spirit in them before they can really thrive in church.
Mm-hmm.
Thrive with the body of Christ, build things in the kingdom. And there's a lot of people, I think, that just don't know.
Yeah.
They just don't have that witness.
Right.
Because we can sit here and we can explain something. It's like a kid. Like, we can sit here and explain something over and over and over, and then they're still going to do the same thing until that light bulb moment goes off. And the Holy Spirit is that light bulb of, oh, the truth. It's setting me free, you know? So.
And then it was that simple.
It really is that simple.
You know, I mean, because I go back to what we've been saying a lot here at the church the last year or so, is because of what we heard Brother Lance say back when when I very first heard him. You know, he preached a word one time. He said, it's time for people to turn the light on.
Mm-hmm.
Turn the light on. He said, it's just as simple as that. Turn the light on. You know, because of why? Because us that are saying that have been in church 30, 40, 50, 60 years, it's still time for us to turn the light on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if I'd said this or not, but the last time he was in, it was just an amazing time that he showed us when he went to, I don't know if it was West Virginia or Virginia, or one of the states out east there, but he went to a church that was actually older people. When he gave the altar call, like, I'm talking about 20 or all of them went, but I'm talking like 20 of them was on walkers seeking for the glory of God in their life.
Wow.
Even at the age that they was. So when I see that desire in older people, when I see that desire in people that has been in the faith for so many years, know that it's not about what he done for me yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's about what he's doing for me right now.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And I know that he's a right now God.
Yes, he is.
But because he prepared me yesterday, he's got me to where I am now, that I don't want nothing but him.
Yes.
And I've got no excuse to go back on him. I've got no excuse to back away from where he wants me to be, because of why my desire, no matter what my physical being is, whether it's in a wheelchair, whether it's in a walker, whether it's this, whether it's that, still yet, that does not give me no excuse to go after God.
Amen.
And so, anyway, I have that desire. I want that desire. I want other people to know that. And, I mean, just to be able to experience everything that Jesus has for us. It's an amazing time to be a part of the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, there's been moments in my life that I can remember that were draw me to him like never before. But it seems here in the last few years, it's like a deeper hunger that I can see throughout everybody. What? And you say, well, I don't see it. Well, surround your people that sees it.
Yeah,
surround
exactly.
yourself with people that sees it. And I mean, but if you're always in the world, doing things of the world, more than likely you're not going to see it.
Right.
But if you're surrounding yourself with people of like mind, that is the salt, that is the light, guess what? You're going to see it.
Can't miss it.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Gale said, so many people forget that their attitude alone is a witness.
Yeah.
Can others see the joy of Jesus in your everyday attitude?
Mm.
That's right, Ms. Gale. Yeah, that's exactly right.
No, that's the Holy Spirit confirming, because he has been dealing with me on this. It's like, what is your face showing people? Like, what is your demeanor when you're walking in places? Like, are you in a hurry? Are you stressed? Are you like running around like a crazy lady? Or are you peaceful? Are you walking with purpose? Are you walking aware of your surroundings and ready if anybody needs you in that moment?
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, okay,
well,
Lord.
Then that takes me back. Also, it took me back to the scripture. I'll go, you know, your life is supposed to persuade people to come to Christ. And if you're over here looking grumpy and upset and mad, I don't want what you got.
Yeah,
that's
but if you're over here with your joy-filled self and rubbing off on people, okay, what do you got? You got to want to, your light is supposed to make people question what you have so that, first of all, that's a conversation starter. But second of all, that they would taste and they would see, because we are called to be the salt and the light.
Yeah.
So is your life worthy of being persuasive of his character to persuade people to come to him?
That's it. So
that's so true. Man, this word persuade keeps coming up. And I'm like, okay, Lord, because, and I will say this before we go to break, because we're going to get Megan Fortner on here in a minute after we play like a short song or something. But earlier, Josh, when you were talking about persistent, like as a kid, if you really wanted something, I mean, it's like the Lord sitting here speaking to me. Like, it's like he's sitting here right in front of me, like, remember this, Hannah? Because, I mean, I would be so persistent about what I wanted. I mean, my mom will probably say amen, like how Aaron's mom does on Sundays. She'd be like, amen. Like I would not take no for an answer. And it was almost like bad, because I just kept on, like, and it's like the Lord speaking, like, reminded me that, like, he's created us all to be that way with the gospel.
Yeah.
And with witnessing to people, to be so persistent. Like, how often do we just stop, we're like, well, that person's not receiving, so I'm moving on to the next.
Right.
That person's not receiving what I'm saying, so I'm just going to move on to the next person, or not even trying to be persuasive. But he wants us to be that persistent with trying to give people the truth and help them understand and help them receive what he has.
Right.
And share in his goodness. And I don't know, that just, let us be that persistent as a child who really, really wants that toy or really wants to stay the night with that friend. Like, let us be that persistent and that passionate about the Lord.
Yes.
Right.
And spreading his good news to people.
Thank God he's persistent with chasing after us.
Amen.
And that he would leave the 99 to chase after us.
Amen.
That's right.
I think it was maybe Pastor Aaron who said it on Sunday. He said, the Lord hasn't given up on you, so don't you dare give up on him. Was that him?
Yeah, who said I think
that's a good
so.
Word. That's awesome.
I think so. Yeah.
That's right.
So. Yeah, so that really hit me too. It's like, okay, Lord, we hear you.